This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Immigrants flee violence in South Africa. Gay men and women in Gambia face death threats. And against conventional wisdom, does Africa have an obesity problem? That's all in our Africa update. And for more, we've got Nicole Lee. She's the executive director of Trans Africa Forum. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Farai. Nice to be with you.
So let's begin in South Africa. It's been nearly 2 weeks since it was reported that some native-born South Africans started attacking immigrants from other African nations. More than 50 people have been killed and upwards of 25,000 have been displaced. Attackers are accusing the immigrants of taking jobs and increasing South Africa's already high crime rate. President Thabo Mbeki recently condemned the attacks.
We must acknowledge the events of the past 2 weeks as an absolute disgrace. The violence and criminality we have seen perpetrated by a few South Africans is opposed to everything that our freedom from apartheid represents.
So, Nicole, how serious is the situation right now?
Well, Farai, it's pretty serious and a bit unprecedented, although the situation, if you will, it's like a pot that's about to boil over. Now we're seeing that it's actually boiling over. I mean, there are a lot of issues that are facing both the poor in South Africa and those that are fleeing to South Africa. Certainly the situation in Zimbabwe, the economic and political crisis there, has certainly resulted in millions fleeing to South Africa. There are at least 4 million Zimbabweans that are in South Africa right now, not to mention, of course, Mozambicans and Nigerians and Somalians. And I think the second and what's most disturbing is what this is showing us is despite the promises of the end of apartheid, the government has just simply been unable, due to the lack of resources, resolve the economic legacy that we see of apartheid. People are still in South Africa living without clean water. They are still living in substandard housing, no electricity. They don't have access to health care. And so all of these things have unfortunately created a situation where those in South Africa have turned on those who are also the most marginalized in their country, which are people that are fleeing persecution or violence in their own countries or just looking for a better way of life. And those are the immigrants that have been attacked.
There are several studies that have looked at what's sometimes called economic apartheid, where although Africans who are black Africans native to the region in South Africa, as well as people who were called coloreds and people who were Asian, now have full political rights, they have not always been able to make gains economically. So is the country going to do anything, or what is it doing around these economic issues?
I think that these are the sorts of issues that the trade unions, COSATU, the Congress on South African Trade Unions, that the churches have been bringing up ever since democratic elections in 94. What they've talked about is certainly we have now political rights, and these are terribly important, and we fought for these. But we also fought for economic rights. And one of the things that people forget, especially in this country, is that apartheid was not just about political rights. It was about economic rights and economic prosperity and the ability to gain wealth. And unfortunately, due to a lot of factors, we are still seeing those in South Africa, both what would be considered coloreds and blacks, still living in very substandard conditions. And until the country is really able to address those, we are going to see this sort of violence in South Africa. But it's something that certainly advocates on the ground have been pointing to quite some time. And so hopefully the government will be able to move more quickly. The government has certainly done a lot. Have built housing. They've certainly done a lot in terms of health care, or have attempted to do something in terms of health care. But more must be done. The need is just far greater than the capacity.
South Africa is a nation that is known on the continent for having some pretty liberal laws around gay rights and human rights. And, for example, marriage is legal for South African gays and lesbians. But that's not necessarily the case in every African nation. And so the president of Gambia threatened to cut off the head of any gay person in the country. Last week at a political rally, the president said gay people had 24 hours to leave the country and promised, quote, stricter laws than Iran on homosexuality. So this country is also the host country for the African Commission on Human and People's Rights. Nicole, what's been the reaction both inside the country and from other African nations?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the reaction has not been as boisterous as you would have expected. Certainly, there are many countries on the continent of Africa that do have laws on the books that make it very difficult for gay and lesbian people to be open, to rally around each other for better rights, and even economically to benefit on the continent of Africa. And so, although certainly the international treaties do recognize people have the right not to be discriminated against based upon sex, and some have looked at that and said, well, that means sexual orientation as well. That has not necessarily trickled down into the laws that we see on the books in countries in Africa. So it's been unfortunate because this would be a real opportunity for countries like South Africa and other countries that do not have repressive policies against gays and lesbians to talk about the invisibility of gays and lesbians, to talk about this stigma in the hopes that community groups, churches, etc., would feel more free to have these conversations in countries like Gambia.
Now, this is something that some people may not really know or even believe, but there is an issue of obesity on the continent of Africa. Now, in some countries, you are considered prosperous if you are heavier. And Mozambique has had to introduce a new fitness regimen for police officers to try to tackle a growing obesity problem. In Namibia, obesity is causing people to get more type 2 diabetes, just like there is in the U.S. And the World Health Organization estimates a third of African women and a quarter of African men are overweight, and it's going to get higher in the coming years. Now, there is an assumption when you see some of the pictures of people, for example, who are refugees, that this is not something that would happen on the continent. What do you think we're really seeing here? Maybe differences in cultures?
Well, it's interesting because when we think about the food shortage, you know, in many ways, there really isn't a shortage of food, even internationally. It's just who has access to food and what types of food they have access to. We see this in our own country where we have food, yet there is much of the food that we eat undernourishes us. And we see this on the continent of Africa as well. You certainly do have a situation where culturally in many countries, the heavier you are, the more that you weigh, it's a sign of wealth and prosperity. So if you have a wife that is more... It has more weight on her, you are seen to be a prosperous man. What we're seeing now is a few things. Certainly, as I stated before, wealth is in the hands of some on the continent. And because weight is seen as a sign of wealth, people do tend to weigh more if they can. But the other thing that we're seeing is how Western diets are influencing the way that people eat on the continent. So just like you can have food but be undernourished, there are so many non-foods that we find in our fast food, like high fructose corn syrup, that we're seeing now on the continent of Africa in ways never before seen. We now see that this is in the diets of African people. And so because there is a food shortage, a food crisis that we're seeing, does not necessarily mean that there would not be an obesity problem among those that can afford that type of food.
Well, Nicole, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Nicole Lee is the executive director of Trans Africa Forum. She was at our headquarters in Washington, D.C.